Greetings, once again, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, wainihau, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now. From the entertainment capital of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex, Corporation of the United States of Listeria, where we are shocked by the greatest calamity in our history, the Bush regime, yes, where we are governed by looters, really, note to rest of the world, help, SOS from the U.S., save us from our government, please. Our treasury has been looted, our economy has been looted, our morality and ethics have been looted, our environment has been looted. By the way, FEMA, the new four-letter word, FEMA, has awarded the new official word for environment here in the Deutschland, I mean homeland. The word environment has been awarded to, may I have the envelope, please? And I don't just say this because...
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I have the award ceremony envelope right here. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, FEMA awards the word environment to the Enron Company. Yes, that's right, the Enron Corporation. And I know that this will shock a lot of people, as it was expected that ownership of the word environment, well, it was expected to go to ExxonMobil Corporation, which had both a larger bribe to the government and the, actually, you know, it also had going for it that it was, you know, the writer of the Bush regime's position on global warming. That, plus the sympathy ExxonMobil Corporation now now enjoys, now that activists are calling for a worldwide boycott of Exxon and Mobil gasoline immediately. You know, well, after all of these hardships, you can see why the odds makers thought that the Bush regime would award ownership of the word environment to the newly boycotted ExxonMobil. But again, the surprise winner is Enron, and I guess Enron gets that in appreciation of its manipulation of the California energy situation and its assistance in creating the current oil crisis. Enron now owns the word environment, and what's this? Oh, this just then. Okay, the word environment has now officially been changed to Enronment. Enronment. Okay, please note, this is an official announcement from the Department of Deutschland Security Department. The word environment has officially been changed to Enronment. Anyone heard speaking the priorly used but now banned word may be subjected to human vivisection experiments now being conducted at UCLA, financed by a grant by the Alberto Gonzalez Foundation. Again, the new official word to be used under penalty of human vivisection is Enronment. Okay, you got that? That's the official word from the Department of Deutschland Security Department, and who reminds you that there's a small cage and an experiment waiting for you if you use the word, well, it's now banned, so we can't use that word. So use Enronment, okay? The Department of Deutschland Security would also like to clear up previous confusion. Use of nuclear instead of nuclear has been ruled not mandatory as you know we had previously thought. That was ruled unconstitutional, cruel and unusual punishment. So your constitutional freedom from self-embarrassment has been preserved. You're gonna have to do that on your own, I guess, huh? But we have plenty of embarrassment to go around from our federal government. FEMA had a list for suggested charitable donations, only second to the Red Cross, which incredibly FEMA delayed and blocked from rendering aid in the U.S. Gulf War. I don't get it. I mean, I think we're all actors in a... This has got to be a Rod Serling script, and we're all actors, or we're all in this nightmare together. Whose dream is this? I want out. It's so bizarre. You know, Rod Serling would have to come back from the grave to write this, you know? So Bush blocks the Red Cross. He blocks trucks with drinking water, and he blocks floating hospitals. He blocks doctors, and blocks aid from just about everyone. But, you know, listed on the FEMA website, only second to the Red Cross, Operation Blessing. Doesn't that sound charitable? So whose charity is Op Blessing? Well, it's none other than the hitman himself, the official preacher and teacher of assassination for our assassin nation. Anyway, yes, Pat Robertson was number two on the FEMA list of suggested charities. Now, apparently, Michael Brown, Brownie, as we've come to, you know, affectionately call the bungalow, apparently Michael Brown, Brownie, the International Arabian Horse Association trained FEMA director, I guess he understands that Pat Robertson, doesn't mess around, you know, when it comes to profiting from disaster also, as Halliburton is. Yeah, who's getting the contracts to fix what's happening in the U.S. Gulf War, huh? Halliburton, of course. So, of course, Reverend Hitman, we'll list you at number two, Reverend Hitman, Michael Brown would say. Number one, if you like, just none of that assassination talk, please, Reverend Robertson. In fact, let's do that. Let's list you at number one on the FEMA recommended charities list, Michael Brown would say. What's already listed at number one, Brownie asked? The Red Cross? What's that? I never heard of that. Why would he? I mean, he's only working with, breeding horses. I'm sure that nobody's ever heard of that either, Reverend Robertson. The Red Cross? That almost sounds familiar. Oh, no, I was thinking of my health care plan. Yeah, what's that? Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Anyway, if any flunkies show up calling themselves, the Red Cross or whatever they are, the Yellow Circle, the Purple Triangle, I've never heard of any of them. Whatever. I can delay them while you keep collecting money, Reverend Robertson. No problem. There, my hit man of God friend. Anyway, FEMA. Oh, my God. What a nightmare. FEMA is preventing people from taking their companion animals with them during evacuation. Federal and state authorities in Louisiana are failing to allow animal protection agencies to rescue animals, causing slow, agonizing deaths for days. Cats and dogs and other animals. Past arrangements that were crafted by animal organizations with the FEMA of the past, the FEMA that actually had emergency professionals working with it in the past. Well, it seems that those arrangements are, out the window. Citizens are being ordered to abandon their animals under threat of arrest. The animals, the animals are family members. For some people, the only ones some people have left are the animals. And FEMA is saying not one dog, not one cat can go into the boats with evacuees. And the people are going to die because they will not abandon their companion animals. So I don't know how much death is being caused by this administration before it's enough already, telling exasperated Americans that they must abandon the animals that they love is cruel and criminal. It's illegal under Louisiana statutes, Chapter 14, Section 102.1, A1D. Anyone who abandons an animal is guilty of the crime of cruelty to animals. So you are being asked, as if anybody's... Okay, but we're going to try. We have to get at FEMA. We have to try to contact Brownie at 202-646-3900. 202-646-3900. The fax number, 202-646-3930. And, you know, we have to urge that the animals be rescued with their human guardians. And if you can get an email over to the mayor of New Orleans, that would be very helpful also. Coming from, well, PETA is asking that contact be made. Let's see, what do I have here? Let me go through my file that I've been gathering. Emergency updates, speak up for animals in New Orleans. Animal groups have finally been allowed into some of the affected areas, however, this comes from PETA, helpinganimals.com. Animal groups have finally been allowed into some of the affected areas. However, federal authorities are forcing everyone, including elderly residents who have stayed in waterlogged residences for days just to safeguard their beloved animals, to leave their animals behind to starve. In some cases, people are told that they must choose between taking vital medicine and taking their dog. This is illegal, and it has to stop. PETA has issued a news release advising that anyone forcing a person to leave an animal behind is engaging in a crime, but that is not stopping federal evacuators from insisting that animals be left to die. It's all we get from this government, huh? This is a government of death. We get war, we get the most bungled rescue ever, and now, leave your animal to die. Who can do that, huh? Please call your member of Congress immediately. Leave messages in Washington and at their home offices, and get everyone you know to call also. This is definitely critical. Rue McClanahan wrote a letter to President Bush. Dear President Bush, please show the world that America cares about people and their beloved dogs, cats, and other animal companions by immediately directing federal authorities involved in evacuations from New Orleans to stop forcing residents to leave their animals behind. One elderly woman who has stayed in her... I just told you the story about the woman staying there, and her world is no world at all now, having to leave her animal behind. The child was crying so hard his heart seemed about to break because his dog was turned away from the bus he was boarding. Helicopter and boat crews sent into the flooded areas are giving ultimatums to residents to choose between vital medicines and their animals. Abandonment is illegal. This is America. We surely have the wherewithal to rescue both and preserve the image of ourselves as a caring nation. I beg you to pick up the phone and order federal authorities to start evacuating people with their animals. They cannot be left to starve to death in these United States. Thank you for your attention. What kind of Homeland Security is this? I'd like to see the plan. You know, the plan in advance, since, you know, all the billions of dollars have gone to Homeland Security. What's the plan? Does it say in the plan, leave your animals to starve? This is ridiculous. From In Defense of Animals, Katrina animal rescue efforts stagnate as aid workers await deployment. Jackson, Mississippi, Project Hope, a project of the International Animal Protection Organization In Defense of Animals, is calling on state officials to allow animal protection groups permission to enter disaster-stricken areas of Mississippi. The group, which has set up a rescue and recovery effort at the county fairgrounds in Jackson, along with Mississippi Emergency Response for Animals and the Disaster Animal Response Team, DART, to help animals affected by Hurricane Katrina, is prepared to venture into areas affected by the storm and deliver medical assistance and supplies, yet is being halted by the Emergency Operations Center. So, okay, I mean, this goes on and on and on. So we're trying to get help for the animals there. It's heartbreaking to see what's happening to all of the innocent in Katrina. The heartbreaking video we see on TV of the dogs swimming in the water. And what kind of country are we if we can't save all of the innocent lives? You can also go to noahswish.org. IFAW.org, UAN.org, all involved with animal rescue. And, you know, more and more people are saying, you know, what do we have going on here? Past guest on this show, Ramsey Clark, who happens to have been an attorney general of the United States, just put out something this week. He said, The world watches and wonders why, if the American people are free, they fail to resist the criminal violence of their president. And now Bush, you hear Bush is being charged with, is this criminal or not, when you're keeping the Red Cross from administering aid and, you know, just holding everybody back from the water that was to come in, from the doctors, from the aid. And this was being held back by your government, your Al-Qaeda in the White House. You know, have they infiltrated? Is he a double agent? How come he's not searching for bin Laden? How come he's not, you know, bringing in bottles of water to, you know, then his mother, well, that explains it, you know, I mean, his mother saying that, most of the victims in New Orleans, the human victims, were underprivileged anyway, so, you know, going into the Superdome there, you know, really, you know, was good for them, you know, kind of an improvement for them. So, anyway, the world watches and wonders why, if the American people are free, they fail to resist the criminal violence of their president. The only act that can redeem the United States and the hearts and minds of those still capable of forgiving and believing our government can change its violent ways is the impeachment of George W. Bush and the responsible officials of his administration before it is too late. The time to begin a final drive for impeachment is now. Together, we are not helpless. This is Ramsey Clark speaking here in a release this week. Power is in the people, united for peace, perseverance through the midterm congressional elections in November 2006 can force incumbent members of the House of Representatives to impeach President Bush or face defeat. Failing that, it can restore integrity and honor to the president's oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution, written with the abuses of King George III painfully in mind, is unequivocal in the action required for criminal conduct of civil officers of the United States. Quote, the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. That's Article 2, Section 4. The Nuremberg Judgment proclaimed war of aggression, the supreme international crime. World War II was comprised of wars of aggression. President Bush boasted assassination and summary executions in his 2003 State of the Union message. And then Ramsey Clark says, Ramsey Clark says, we need your help. They're mounting a big effort on September 24th, Washington, D.C. There will be pro-peace, anti-war protests, anti-Bush protests all over the world. Go to vote2impeach.org. vote2impeach.org. And, you know, maybe I'll mix up my beverage there on September 24th and have it out there, you know, just kind of that cool, refreshing peach juice with in the blender with a hint of mint. Peach mint. Okay, what can I tell you? This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and on today's show, well, okay, we want to change the world. We have to do it with the children. School is back in session, and we will be talking to Zoe Weil. What about humane education? Is that an answer to our troubled world? We will examine that. We're also coming up on an event in San Francisco later this month involving organic athletes, vegan athletes, and we had Kenneth Williams on the show last week talking about it. Today we'll talk to Bradley Saul, who's putting the event together. All of this on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the radio show which you support with your tax-deductible donations. I certainly appreciate it when you send them in, because free speech is expensive, and you know, if the show weren't on right now, what would there be but a McDonald's commercial, probably, huh? So we appreciate your support. You can make your tax-deductible donation payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, 92164. The show is podcast. All the information you need is at the website, goveganradio.com. The show is archived, so if your friends miss it today, you can send them to the website, and they can hear this show. They can hear last week's show with Kenneth Williams, the vegan bodybuilding champion. And we have many shows archived with many from the last 4.5 years going up on the website shortly. So we appreciate your support. If you need to reach me, it's 818-623-6477. Or you can email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. And also from Follow Your Heart, don't forget vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. They're delicious, you know, even before you melt them, so you can just put them on sandwiches, but they do melt, so you don't have to go wanting for anything, any of the comfort foods of the past, enchiladas and nachos and pizza. You can have them all dairy-free with Follow Your Heart and vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. And also from Follow Your Heart, some wonderful vegan salad dressings like creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does. So who would want to go to a restaurant with that odor, huh? Anyway, so the place to be is a vegan restaurant. And hooray for Hollywood. It now has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant called Truly. Yes, T-R-U-L-Y, Truly Vegan, conveniently located on Hollywood Boulevard, right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101. Truly is at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. And, by the way, make sure you check out 9 on the Town in Los Angeles, September 13th, 7 p.m. The subject? Yes, Truly. Truly, you know, because we're news. Vegan food is news. It's the happening food. I was just at the cancer conference this past weekend, the 33rd annual, put on by the Cancer Control Society, the Sheraton Universal Hotel. You know, the buzzword is vegan, 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 vegan. A lot of people went to see Dr. Lorraine Day, who cured herself of breast cancer. All she can say is vegan, 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 vegan. That's the happening word. And September 13th, 9 on the Town, so it's Channel 9, 7 p.m. Check it out. You'll see Truly there. I was over at Truly a few days ago, and Truly has something new going on the menu, something, you know, really, really interesting. It's Japanese-style eating, a Japanese dish called shabu shabu, and the dish is served with a pot of boiled kombu soup and delicious thin slices of soy meat and mixed fresh vegetables and glass noodles, udon, tofu, and it's two kinds of dipping sauces, and it comes with steamed rice. So basically, you're cooking your soup at the table. You're bringing your broth to simmer and you're putting the noodles, the vegetables, the soy meat in. You'll be amazed at what a great vegan chef you are with this dish. I had it. It was delicious. And also, for anybody who says, well, I'm vegan, you know, 90% vegan. Well, the other 10%, I just can't give up fish. I can't give up that sushi. Well, Truly has truly delicious vegan sushi. I was over there for the soy fish sushi. I had to go back the next night. It was so good. They have soy shrimp sushi, soy chicken sushi. Just a wonderful menu at Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. And you can call for catering, call for delivery. It's 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958. Yes, indeed. And we continue now. And by the way, we are podcasting. Go to the website, goveganradio.com. Well, Zoe Weil is president. Don't worry. She's president of something really good. Really good. You know, I know you might flinch a little lately when you hear the word president. No, this president is doing something constructive and critically important, visionary, and actually, well, it's a vision with which we might actually agree. Zoe Weil is president of the International Institute for Humane Education and the author of such books as The Power and Promise of Humane Education, Above All, Be Kind, Animals in Society, and So You Love Animals. Welcome, Zoe. How are you doing?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Terrific. I'm really happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
So, humane education. What's that?
Well, humane education is an old field and a brand new field all at the same time. For many people, humane education was teaching about companion animals and spaying and neutering, but the new humane education, which is really comprehensive humane education, explores all of the challenges that we face on our planet, whether it's animal oppression or human oppression or environmental degradation or issues of consumerism and media control and corporatocracy. Humane education examines all of these challenges in an effort to help young people and older people come to good solutions for these interconnected problems.
And what's your vision of where humane education should be taught? Where is it being taught? And you know, what is it? What specifically might be taught?
Well, humane education should be taught everywhere. It should be taught to our youngest children through college and adult learning. And it's probably the most important subject that could be taught in schools. And unfortunately, we're not at the point yet where you see humane education taught in the same numbers as, let's say, math classes or history classes. But we'll get there because it's that important. When we have a society where all of these problems face us, face animals, face the environment, face humans, and we don't address those problems in any comprehensive way or any interconnected way, what we find is that we're not really educated. We might know how to read and write. We might know how to take tests. We might know how to program a computer. But we don't know how to live on this planet in a way that's humane and sustainable and peaceful. And that is what humane education promises to do. So there are places where humane education is being taught. And one of the very exciting things that is happening right now, this week actually, is that the first year-long comprehensive humane education course that has a service learning component is being taught in San Diego by Danny Denenberg, who is actually the first graduate of our Master of Education program in Humane Education, which is the first of its kind in the country, and she's the first graduate, and she's now teaching this groundbreaking course. And there are other people who are teaching courses similar to it around the country, and there are also people who are incorporating humane education into their existing classes, whether it's social studies or literature or art or health class. But we're not at the point where we're seeing it where we want it, which is that it is as common as any other subject that's traditionally taught in school.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, our intelligence has to address how we survive in our environment.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing that's exciting about humane education is that it's not a single issue subject. So it brings together the complexity of how we live on this planet in relationship to each other. It explores the conflicts that can arise between humans and animals, or humans and the environment, or the environmental issues and individual animal issues. It explores those complexities, and its goal is to come up with solutions. So rather than just tell young people about the ills of the world, humane education actually gives them the tools to start thinking about solutions.
So it should be taught throughout one's education in elementary school, high school, college.
Exactly.
Okay, and how would that approach be? What might an elementary school child hear about? What might a college student hear?
Well, you know, it could be done in different ways. There are some people right now who want to open humane education schools. And what they want to do is they actually want to incorporate humane education into the curricula so that issues of how we live on this planet and how we live with each other are incorporated into every subject category, whether it's reading or it's mathematics or it's social studies. It's simply integrated, that this the theme of every subject. When you're learning to read and when you're reading, you're exploring some of these ideas. Or when you're doing math, you're actually solving world problems through mathematics. So that's one approach. Another approach that I've been thinking a lot about recently is, wouldn't it be great if we had colleges that not only had schools of government or schools of law or schools of medicine, but schools of changing the world? And students would come to these schools, and they would have a core curriculum that exposed them to the various issues that our planet faces, that humans and animals and the environment face. And they would take those issues that they've learned about, and whatever subject they wanted to go into, whatever they wanted to major in, or whatever they wanted their work to be, whether it's economics or politics or healthcare or architecture, they would take this core knowledge and apply it so that they would become the change makers and the problem solvers of the future. So these are just two ideas of the ways in which humane education could be incorporated. And what we are doing at the International Institute for Humane Education is we're actually training people to be humane educators. That is, people who can teach at the elementary level or at the college level or in non-traditional settings, and bring these ideas to whatever settings they find themselves in or that they're drawn to. And we have a Master of Education program and a certificate program that train people to do this. And then we also train people through our workshops, and we're bringing one to Los Angeles in October, which we're really excited about.
I believe it's October 28th through the 30th, Sowing Seeds Humane Education Workshop. At St. Robert's Auditorium, Loyola Marymount University, and people can register online for the workshop, which I think will be fascinating. And the website is IIHED.org for International Institute for Humane Education, IIHED.org. What about teachers? What if this strikes a chord with teachers who are already teaching in public schools or what have you? What if they would like to incorporate humane education in the school system?
Well, we have a lot of teachers who come to both our workshops and to our degree program, and they do. That's exactly what they want to do, and that's why they're coming to us. We find that we have a mix of activists who come to us who want to find a different, more positive form of activism, And we have educators who come to us who want to learn how they can incorporate this into what they're already teaching. And the Sowing Seeds workshop that we're going to be having in Los Angeles is actually one, because it's through Loyola Marymount, teachers who want to come will get credit for it if they register through Loyola Marymount. So there are two. You can come and just register through us if you don't want credit, or you can also get credit as a teacher. And since teachers need to get continuing education credits, it's an opportunity to both get those credits and learn about humane education in a really dynamic and fun way. And the really exciting thing about this particular workshop is that we are going to be leading it with the Dancing Star Foundation, with Michael Tobias and Jane Morrison. Michael Tobias is a filmmaker, and he's an author and ecologist and brilliant, brilliant man, an amazing lecturer. And this is the first time that we're going to be collaborating on one of our Sowing Seeds workshops, and it's really an amazing opportunity for people.
Well, mark your calendar, October 28th through the 30th, the Sowing Seeds Humane Education Workshop, IIHED.org. We're talking to Zoe Weil of the International Institute for Humane Education. And what brought you to this field personally yourself, Zoe?
Well, I was learning about all of the terrible things that were happening. At that point, I had been involved in some human rights issues, and then I was involved in learning about animal issues and environmental issues, and I was so overcome with how awful it was. And I remember leafleting at some event, and I was handing out leaflets on the street, and most people weren't taking them, and some who took them just dropped them on the ground, and I thought, there has to be a better way than this. And there was a program at the University of Pennsylvania. It was a summer school for secondary school students, and I contacted the director and said I wanted to teach some courses. This was back in 1987. And so she let me teach a variety of different courses, one of which was on animal issues.
Whoops. Did we lose her? Zoe? Hello, Zoe? Oh, my gosh. We lost her mid-sentence there. So, okay. Well, we'll see if she gets back here. We'll keep an eye on the phone bank. I definitely want to remind you that it's the Sowing Seeds Humane Education Workshop, October 28th through the 30th, St. Robert's Auditorium, Loyola Marymount University. Register online. Hopefully Zoe calls back. The website again, IIHED.org. You can email Zoe. Looks like the phone's ringing there, right? Is that she? Yes? That is she? Larry? Yeah? You able to put her in? Zoe, you there?
I'm there.
Okay. It's funny. Sometimes it's hard to realize, you know, when you're talking that there's nobody on the other end anymore. So I don't know how long you went on, but
I could hear it. I mean, it just died, and I could hear it, and I got the other phone. But where do we? How do we segue back there?
Oh, do you remember where you were?
I do.
Okay, right there. That's okay. We're on. So just pick up where you were.
Okay. So I was offering these different classes, and these were week-long classes. They met all day, every day, from Monday through Friday, and I was teaching one on animal issues and one on environmental issues, and I watched as these young people, they were 12 and 13 years old, they came in the class on Monday, and by Friday they were really different. They had changed some of their personal choices. Some had become activists literally overnight. I remember one boy, he had learned about product testing on Wednesday, because we went over that, and he came back on Thursday, and he had made leaflets himself that night. And Thursday during lunch, he was standing out on the street corner in Philadelphia handing out his homemade leaflets. Now, many of those students I actually kept in touch with. Some of them formed an activist group in the Philadelphia area that was really successful and have gone on to remain activists. And it was so inspiring to me to realize what education could do, that there probably wasn't anything else I could have done with that week of my life that would have had such a profound effect. And from that moment on, that was my life's work. I became a humane educator. I started a humane education program that reached about 10,000 students annually with programs and presentations in classrooms. And what I realized was there were hardly any people doing this work. And so what I needed to do was I needed to train other people so that they could be humane educators too. Because at that point, there were probably a dozen of us in the country who were doing this.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started to create the certificate program and our master's degree program and doing workshops in order to train people.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm trying to train vegan talk show hosts. there weren't many around when this show started. Same situation that you're in there. And you have a quote from Thoreau that I believe guides your path, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We have to not just hack at the branches, but reach into the roots. That's not an exact quote.
The quote is, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root.
Thank you. Yes, of course, this is my signature on my emails, and of course I forget it. But exactly, that is what humane education does. It's humane education is going to the root, and it is the preventive work. You know, we're always talking in the... Vegans are talking about how veganism prevents all of these diseases. Well, we need to prevent the diseases of our entire culture, and that's what humane education does. That's what it promises.
And, you know, violence is a disease too, it seems.
Exactly.
Right. So so after you make activists out of the children, what do the parents say to you?
Well, it's interesting. That first summer that I taught that first course, there was a boy who was in the class. He became a vegetarian that week, and then I was not in touch with him. And a year later, his mother called me, and she's a doctor and also a professor at the medical school at the University of Pennsylvania. And she called me up, and I was a little apprehensive, wondering what she was going to say. And she said that she was really disappointed in herself because she had encouraged her son to take a course with a different instructor that summer, the next summer, because she just felt he should branch out, but he didn't like it as much. And she told me how much my course had changed his life. And knowing that she might not exactly agree with all of the things I'd taught her son, I said, well, how do you feel about that? And she said, are you kidding? He's not into drugs, he wears tie-dye shirts, and he wants to change the world. What could be better? So even though she didn't share his convictions about many issues, she so appreciated the fact that her son had found a real purpose and meaning that was good and wanted to do something positive for the world. He now has his master in public health, and he's an AIDS activist, and, you know, he's still an animal advocate as well. But I am so impressed with his mother, who could see that it didn't matter if her son's ideas might be different from hers. Now, of course, not all parents are like that, but the majority are. And I think the reason why is that humane education is so positive. As humane educators, we're not encouraging young people to be angry and hostile and in your face. We're encouraging young people to find positive solutions. And it helps them in many ways in their life. Humane education encourages basic values, compassion, respect, kindness, integrity, honesty, courage.
You need to be in every school with
exactly.
this course. Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more, Bob.
Well, let's work on this together. Let's see what we can make happen here. It's a necessity. I mean, look at our society. We're just not thinking. We're not aware. And, you know, there's violence in our lives and environmental devastation. And, of course, in humane education is probably just what we need right about now.
I think so.
Yes, okay. Well, we have about another minute. I definitely want to remind people to get involved with the Sowing Seeds Humane Education Workshop in Los Angeles, October 28th through the 30th at Loyola Marymount University. And you can register online at IIHED.org for International Institute for Humane Education. If people want to contact you by phone or in any other way, how might they do that, Zoe?
They can call 207-667-1025.
Okay, 207-667-1025. It's Zoe at IIHED.org, Z-O-E at IIHED.org. Did I miss anything in the last minute here that you wanted to cover?
I think
you
covered it.
Oh, okay, great, okay. October 28th through the 30th, we'll look forward to that. I'll remind people about it Probably every week from now on. So
great. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, though, for doing what you're doing and taking it to the children where it's a necessity. It's their world that they're inheriting, so give them the tools to solve the problems of their world.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Zoe.
Thank you, Bob.
Zoe Weil talking to us today from the International Institute for Humane Education. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, podcasting. The website is goveganradio.com. If you can find it in your generosity to make a donation to help us stay on the air, that would be great. You make your check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, and that is San Diego 92164. All the information at goveganradio.com. You want to keep that music going there a little in the background, Larry? It's kind of nice. Used to play that on my jazz radio stations in the past. My career before I was deregulated and consolidated out of radio, and I bet they're sorry now for what I've become. Okay, what am I looking at here? Let's see. Oh, I picked this up at the cancer conference. Gary Null's anti-aging and health support group is starting up for 2005, starting September 18th, 2005, at the Courtyard Marriott, 13480 Maxella Avenue in Marina Del Rey, 5:30 p.m. for registration. Lecture begins at 6:30. Topics will cover anti-aging using natural protocols, how to detox, health issues, etc., etc. For further details, 310-281-6186. The San Diego Film Festival is September 21st through the 25th in the Gas Lamp Quarter. And it's the San Diego premiere of Earthlings during the San Diego Film Festival. And the screening is September 24th. 7:45 p.m. at the Pacific Gas Lamp 15 Theaters. And the writer and director, Sean Monson, who was a past guest on the show, will be there, as will be the narrator, Joaquin Phoenix, who said this is the most important film that he's done. It was voted Best Feature at the Activist Film Festival. And as I said, it's the San Diego premiere of Earthlings. 5 years to produce this show, undercover footage, never seen before footage, basically showing you the economic dependency on animals in this country. And I hope that you will go see it. I strongly recommend that you go see Earthlings, the screening September 24th, 7:45 Pacific Gas Lamp 15 Theater, the San Diego debut. Go to SDFF. As in San Diego Film Festival, sdff.org. Don't forget September 24th to 26th. If you can make it to Washington, D.C., it's the big peace demonstration. Demonstrations going on in Los Angeles and San Diego and pretty much everywhere else. We all want peace. Peace now. We want Bush out. We want the money going to Iraq to help the people in our Gulf War here. Anyway, you can go to unitedforpeace.org, unitedforpeace.org. September, we got the Red Lobster Week of Action. The boycott of Red Lobster kicks off Thursday, September 15th, the Week of Action against Red Lobster. People are boycotting Red Lobster because pressure is being put on the Canadian fishing industry to end the Canadian seal massacre that happens every year. And there's a boycott of Canadian seafood. Red Lobster is one of the largest purchasers of Canadian seafood. If Red Lobster says no more seal massacre, you know that the Canadian Gov Enron Ment will say no more seal massacre. So, anyway. Oh, let's see. Organic Week in Santa Barbara, Friday, September 16th, 8 p.m. at the Lobero Theater, an evening with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., speaking on A Contract for Our Future, hosted by actor Anthony Zerbe, presented by actress Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Tickets $27.50 at the Lobero Theater, 33 East Cannon Perdido. This is Santa Barbara we're talking about, 805-963-0761. And then Sunday, September 18th, is the 5th California Organic Festival, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Alameda Park and Alex Keck Park Memorial Gardens in Santa Barbara. You can go to organicfestival.com, organicfestival.com. And let me just see what I got over here. Let's see, this isn't... Sierra Sage, the Orange County chapter of the Sierra Club, will be holding its Sustainable Food Fest on September 18th, and you might be interested in attending. The number is 949-347-1255, 949-347-1255, and that's a taste of Orange County's best organic produce, San Juan Capistrano. Check it out. And yeah, who says vegans don't get enough protein, huh? We have the Organic Athlete Conference coming up on September 24th in San Francisco. It's being organized by Bradley Saul, who is on the line right now. And Bradley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Terrific. Glad to have you here. Tell us a bit about the Organic Conference that's coming up September 24th in San Francisco.
Well, we're bringing in a bunch of professional vegan athletes of all different sports, triathletes, cyclists, surfer, bodybuilder, and nutritionists, renowned nutritionists and doctors to come talk and tell people about why a plant-based diet is optimal for health and performance.
Right. So where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Sports Basement in San Francisco. Sports Basement is a sports store there in the Presidio area.
In the Presidio area. Mm-hmm. And how might people attend if they're interested in being there?
They can sign up the day of. They can sign up on our website at organicathlete.org/conference.
And this is the first annual Organic Athlete Conference.
It is the first annual. I might add that the day following is the San Francisco Vegetarian Society's World Vegetarian Day celebration, which always gets a big turnout. They had, I think, about 2,000 people there last year. So that's a big event. It's also in San Francisco.
Right, the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, so people can go to sfvs.org on that.
Sure.
And they can register for the Organic Athlete Conference at organicathlete.org/conference. The phone number is 707-360-8511. So the being vegan is the better way for athletes, huh? Is that what you think, Bradley?
Yeah, that's what we think, and that's what our organization is all about. And this was an event to get people together and educate people about that.
Excellent. Okay. So we'll look forward to that if you're interested. And last week we had Kenneth Williams on, who's a champion vegan bodybuilder, and he'll be at the event. Any other names that we might recognize or not recognize but want to recognize or want to meet or see? Or?
Brendan Brazier will be there. He's pretty well known in the vegan vegetarian circles. Christine Verdaros, who is a vegan, she is one of the top cyclocross racers in the world. She will be there.
Yeah. So
Ruth Heydrich is pretty well known. She'll be there.
Mm-hmm. So you have bodybuilders and Olympic trainers and cyclists and triathletes, and we look into why vegan's the right way for athletes too. Okay, thanks so much, Bradley. I appreciate you being on the show with us today, and we'll look forward to the event.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Going vegan just got easier. Presenting Follow Your Heart Chicken Free Chicken. Now at natural food stores everywhere. All the taste, none of the bird. Vegan, low fat, low sodium, cholesterol free, chicken free chicken from Follow Your Heart. 11 grams of protein per 2.5 ounce serving. Ready to serve, delicious hot or cold, like on a sandwich with new organic veggies. You are what you eat. Don't be chicken. Try Chicken Free Chicken. Get some at Follow Your Heart on Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga, Canoga Park, and natural food stores everywhere.
Well, you know, I try to make it the least painful for you when we have advertisers on the show. In fact, the advertisers that we have on the show are stories in themselves, and I know people and places that certainly interest you. And I want to thank Kung Food, Natural Organic Express Cafe, for its support of Go Vegan with Bob Linden over at 2949 Fifth Avenue at Quince in San Diego. You know Kung Food for just a wonderful menu. I mean, I love the desserts there. I love the Sunday brunch, and you can go there, and you know, there's a raw menu that's fantastic, and private parties, and there's catering, and it's just a wonderful place. I hang out there. I enjoy it. There's a fresh juice and smoothie bar. You know, just it's the place that's going on. It's the place to hang out. Build your own burrito bar. It's really the happening place. And you know, sometimes it hits me. I realize, I look at the clock, I go, oh no, it's 9:01, you know. 9:01 p.m. The end of natural food. Where can we go? Or maybe it hits 10 o'clock, you know, and that's it for Whole Foods, and then what? Well, Kung Food has opened a drive-through window. A drive-through window that's open late on the weekends, and it's a wonderful menu indeed. You got a burger with cheese, you got a double burger with cheese, and of course, all the food is vegan. All the food is wonderful. There's a mush. This is just the drive-through. So if you're hungry tonight, head on over to Kung Food. Mushroom Swiss burger, pesto burger, bacon cheeseburger, south of the border burger with guacamole and salsa and jalapenos. There's a raw burger also that you can get at the drive-through. There are burritos at the drive-through: the veggie burrito, chorizo and papas burrito, the breakfast burrito, and you can get air fries, sweet potato fries, chicken tenders. Everybody's just, you know, singing the praises of the chicken tenders. Why? It's delicious and no chicken. Soft serve ice cream, non-dairy, right there at the drive-through window. Sandwiches and wraps and salads and beverages and vitamin water and coconut water, fresh from the shell, right there from Kung Food. So please, definitely check it out. 2949 Fifth Avenue at Quince in San Diego. The phone number, 619-298-7302.
Have you heard his show? Have you heard Go Vegan with F?
No, I haven't, and I have no interest in hearing
it. It's been on three.
Thanks, Larry, but that's not quite the right. Have you heard Go Vegan? No, I have never heard it, and I have no interest. It's the same guy who says, yeah, you're going to be the hottest vegan talk show host. You know, that's well-known in the Los Angeles area. He loved the idea of my vegan radio show, as you can tell, Mr. Sontag. Anyway, I want to introduce you to Guardian Animal Aftercare, helping you feel better about a time of transition. You know, after we have a long life with our companion animal, facing the end can be really sad, and we don't know what to do, and we have people who are really looking at helping you at that time. And Dr. Audra Sykes, who's a holistic veterinarian, is offering alternatives for people that would include cremation, so you know, your dog doesn't go off to the rendering plant like all the other euthanized animals who go there, all the animals who have been experimented on in laboratories, and all the sick animals from the farm all go off to the rendering plant and get boiled down and become feed for farm animals, or soap, or candles, or cosmetics that you put on. So there is an alternative, and I recommend that you contact Guardian Animal Aftercare. The phone number is 818-768-6465. It's guardianaftercare.com. guardianaftercare.com. And I know it's a really sensitive time. I know it was for me. I had a doggy who was my child for 15 years, and you were offered bereavement counseling, pre-need service, so you should get in touch. And I think that you would be happy to know that these are services that help Veterinarians Without Borders, who help with veterinarian care for those who cannot afford it. Veterinarians Without Borders. So definitely check it out. The website again, guardianaftercare.com. My, time flies when you're having fun. Go vegan if you want to be healthy. Go vegan and drink goji juice. Go to govegan.freelife.com. Get your goji juice and go to the website, goveganradio.com. Thank you for listening. Stop eating animals.